In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The campaign promises of a year ago are but a dim image on the screen of our memories. Instead, more recent promises have come to the foreground. Promises like, we will not give up. We will defeat our enemy. We will win. And as good as those promises sound, and as much as we have every intention of fulfilling those promises, time will tell. We have been promised that this war will not be like any previous war. We have also been promised that this war will call for patience and endurance. A patience and endurance for which our nation is not always known. And nor are our lives always known for endurance and patience with others, especially in dealing with them or in dealing with troubles large and small that fester under the skin of daily life. Our good intentions to be more understanding and helpful of spouse and family member and friend soon get derailed by an argument or miscommunication. Our promises to be more faithful in prayer, in devotions, in reading God's word, in chapel, soon are marginalized by schedules that are more typical of a Martha than a Mary. Uncertainties about the future cause restless nights starved for sleep, and temptation in many guises so frequently succeeds in luring us down the dead-end streets and paths where sin and guilt take up residence. Any wonder? Any wonder that we are in the same place as the psalmist as he confesses, I have gone astray like a sheep that is lost. Search for your servant, O Lord. Like the psalmist, each of us has had those days in which we are in trouble far beyond our ability to get ourselves out of it. We've had those days when death keeps nipping at our heels, and we keep falling over ourselves in sin. Any wonder that our cries for mercy echo those of the psalmist? Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Deliver me according to your promise. Let your hand be ready to help me. You see, the psalmist is not directing or complaining to a blank wall or to a mute idol or even to a mirrored image of himself. Rather, he directs his cries for mercy to a living God, a God who makes himself known through his statutes, his Torah, his law, his word, his promises. And this word of God gives the psalmist life, because that word proclaims that God loves sinners. It promises salvation and deliverance. That word of God, the promise of God, is the very life for the psalmist, for it sustains him in his times of trouble and guilt, in his times of doubt and temptation. And the psalmist believes that God's hand is ready to deliver and to help. And in the Word made flesh, God's hands were ready to help as the arms of Jesus were stretched out against the dark Judean sky as Jesus hung on the cross for us. There on the cross, in the death of Jesus the Christ, all the promises of God are yes. In Christ, all of God's promises are fulfilled. And in Christ, the life of the world, the promise of God gives life to those who are dead in their sin. It gives life to us, to you, and to me. The word and promise of God continue to this very day. In the water and word of holy baptism, in the body and blood of the Christ, the bread and wine and the word given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. And it continues in the word read and studied and proclaimed. God's word of life, his word of promise, gives us life and sustains our life in Christ, making it possible for us to follow in the path God has set before us. God's word of promise in Christ makes it possible for us to endure life and all that it throws at us. Some 30 years ago, a graduate from this seminary wrote words that echoed the faith of the psalmist and give encouragement for our lives. He wrote, "We as Christians understand ourselves to be engaged in a long, long pilgrimage in which our time may not be the unique time of revolution at all. We have no promise from God to that effect. We may indeed be going through the dark age that will, in retrospect, be seen as one of the most dismal and unpromising phases in human history. We are a pilgrim people, which means that in terms of our expectations, we ought to be a modest people. Radical in our commitment, but modest in our expectations. Our commitment does not depend upon the fulfillment of our expectations. Our commitment as Christians depends on God's promise alone. Because of Jesus Christ, because of his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sin, we can see the truth in that psalm that the psalmist sang, a song that continues even in and through our lives. This is my comfort in my trouble. Your promise gives me life. Your promise gives me life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.